This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Praise God. Just think about this example Jesus is giving us. I'm going to see that she gets justice. I'm going to take care of her case. I am tired of her showing up in my courtroom every day, because she is wearing me out with her constant request. I mean, to take this to heart. Listen to what he's trying to tell you here. It says here, "Then the Lord said," Jesus said, "learn a lesson from this evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end, so don't you think God will surely give justice So don't you think God will surely give justice to His chosen people who plead with Him one time? Oh, what? How often? Day and night. Not just in the daytime, but day and night. Lord, I'm your daughter. Or Lord, I'm your son. Jump up in His lap and come bold in and say, God, I got a real problem. I don't care if the problem's with you or your husband or your children or whatever it is. Every day until your answer comes, you need to be on God's doorstep. In the morning when you get up, you need to go before the throne of grace and say, Lord, my son's not doing what I want him to do. He's not serving you. He's out there in the world. He's doing all kinds of bad things. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to move on his heart. Do something to this boy. I think about the story I heard about Kenneth Copeland. I mean, you would never dream this now about Kenneth Copeland. When Kenneth Copeland was a young man, he didn't want to serve God. He wanted to go out and sing and be a part of the world. And so he, you know, I remember hearing Kenneth say one time in one of his stories, I was listening to him tell on television, he said, I was singing with the world. I was having a good time. He said, my mother was before the throne of God, and my mother said, where are you going this week, son? He said, I ain't telling you. I ain't telling you. So he said, I went out, and all, I forget where he was, New Mexico or somewhere, and he's singing in some club or something. And all of a sudden, there's in that club, and the phone on the wall rang, and the man won't answer it, and he said, Kenneth, it's your mother. She wants to talk to you. He said, my mother don't know I'm even here. How in the world did she get the phone number in this club? He goes over and said, Mama, is this really you? She said, yes. And he said, how'd you get this phone number? She said, God gave it to me. I was petitioning him, and he said, call him right now and tell him I told him to get out of that club. He said, now when God starts telling your mother where you are and giving her the phone, you better start shaking. So he said, I thought, okay, God, if you're really doing that. So those little things changed Kenneth Copeland so that he no longer stayed with the world. If he hadn't had a persistent praying mother like this woman, Kenneth Copeland today might have been a druggie. You know, he already might be dead. You know, because he is just like you and me. When they come up, nobody is seeking for God. We're all looking to serve the world because we're children of the devil. You know, everybody wants to go the ways of the world. You know, that's just the way we're made. But because of a persistent, godless mother coming before the throne of grace, can you even imagine that she's on the throne of grace saying, Lord, that son you give me, Kenneth, I mean, he's not doing what I know you want him to do. Lord, you got to do something. And she's persistent every day. And finally said, okay, this is where he's at. He's out in New Mexico in a bar or whatever it was. Here's the phone number or the payphone. Call him and told him, I told you to tell him to get out of that place. How would you like to have a mother? Don't you think God can do something like that? You think that story was real? Sure. Why did God? God knows everything. And he can talk to you and tell you anything if you're persistent and stay with it. And God wanted to tell her those things. But because that woman, that mother of Kenneth Copeland, was so persistent. I mean, I heard him tell that story like that. It's been years ago. But he said, I couldn't believe that my mother knew where to get that phone number of that club I was playing in. When I asked her how she got it, she said, God give it to me. Isn't that something? That is something. Hey, there's my honey bunny. Praise the Lord. She did make it. Praise God. My shopping girl. Yeah, this is supposedly ours right here, these two here. Oh, goodness. But anyway, the Lord is telling us here. He says, learn this lesson from this evil judge. He says that if we plead with him day and night, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. I like that, don't you, Deborah? When we persistent and stay in there, he grants us justice quickly. So what he's trying to say, when you start praying and asking him for something, don't ever give up. It's just like this precious little lady sitting back here. She walked in a while ago. She said, of all my years of depression, she said, I have been depressed all of my life. But now that she's learned who she is in Christ, and she said, driving away the devil on depression was one of the easiest things she's done. No more depression, right, honey? No more. Praise God. Now, didn't you say the depression started when you was about 2 or 3?
I remember at 3 years old.
At 3 years of age, having depression. And how could the devil beat up on her like that all these years? Just like God has done an awesome thing in her daddy. I mean, he's just done some wonderful things. But her, she'd been beat up on by the devil, because when the devil come to put that depression on her, she didn't know how to drive him away. Even though somewhere along the line she became a Christian, but nobody ever told her who she was in Christ and the power she had over the forces of darkness. So all those years, she had been beat up on. And I told her, when she came to me, I told her, I said, that's real easy. All you got to do is just take Isaiah 61 and start praising the King. And I said, when you start praising the King, it drives away the spirit of heaviness. The Bible says so. So she started worshiping and praising God, and her heaviness, her depression left. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? See, the Word has all the answers, doesn't it, young lady? Sure it does. The Word has all the answers. Now see, God wrote this book and gave us all the answers. And this is the best-selling book in the world and the least read of any book in the world. A bestseller, and nobody knows anything about it. I know. I was one of those for years and years and years. And then the next devastating thing is when I did start reading it, I didn't believe it, Oscar. Have you been there and been guilty of that too?
I've been there.
You've been there too. So I guess there's not any of us. We read the law, but we don't believe the law means what it says. And in your job, there's a whole lot of out there that see the sign every day. 60, but they're driving 70 and 80 and 90, right? Couldn't be 60. You're stopping, or somebody's stopping them all day, every day, isn't it? Because the law says 60 or 70 or whatever it is, and they don't believe it. That's exactly the way we are as Christians. We read this book, and we don't believe what God said in His Word. But the consequences are there. You know, when you don't believe it, you know, you have to get a ticket. I mean, that police officer, you know, I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you are, you can be driving down that road, 60, 70, or maybe 10 or 15 mile an hour over the speed limit, and if a police officer pulls in behind you, if he just pulls behind you, not even turn his light on, if you happen to look up, all of a sudden, your heart sinks just a little. And you think, did I do something wrong? Why is he right behind me? Now, maybe you all don't go like that, you know, but, you know, it's real easy to think like that, you know it? Especially if he follows you for a block or two. You think, I must have done something wrong. I made a turn wrong. Just like the other day up at Argyle, I pulled up and a police officer pulled right up behind me at the red light. I give a signal, normal, like I always do, and I turn right and I drive down the road. He turned right and he followed me for about a mile. I made sure I was driving exactly the speed limit. Not 1 mile an hour over. But I try to do that all the time anyway, but this guy's right behind me. Now, why is he following me so close? Have I done something wrong? I don't think so. I look at my inspection sticker. No, it's current. I look at my license. It's current. I thought, well, why is he following? All of a sudden, he turns his lights on. I thought, uh-oh. So I pull off. I thought, maybe he wants to go around. So I pulled off, but he didn't go around. He pulled up behind me. When he pulled in behind me, come in and says, can I see your driver's license and your insurance? I said, yes, sir, you sure can. But I said, I'd like to know what I did. He said, just a minute, I'll tell you. Give me your driver's license. I take him. I give him to him. He walks back and he does whatever he does. About 15 minutes back there, he comes back up and he says, okay, you're clean. But he said, I just stopped you because your right turn signal didn't work at the stoplight back there. I thought, isn't that amazing? My right turn signal. He said, you will get that fixed for me quickly, won't you? I said, yes, I will. So when I went on down to the store, I stopped one in, brought me a bump, put it in, because I didn't want to be stopped again. But you know, what did I do wrong? I didn't technically do anything wrong. A bump burned out on my car. But it caused me to get stopped. And if I'd have done anything else wrong, I mean, if I'd had anything else wrong, he would have known it when he come back. What if I'd have had a ticket I hadn't paid? He'd have come back and said, oh, you got a ticket that you didn't pay last year. Now then, he might have carried me to jail. You never know. But see, I mean, it's amazing. If we don't break the law, they can't stop us. But I broke the law and didn't even know I broke it. Now, I wonder how many times we do that in the spirit world. We break God's rules because we don't know what His rules are. And so we get stopped. But he says now then, I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find who have faith? If the king were to come back tonight in the church, first of all, let me ask you this question. How many of you would be just like I was 30 years ago? If you said, Thurman, you have faith, I'd have said, I have faith. I didn't know what it meant. I had no idea what it meant to really have faith. And I'm not too sure I understand it today. You know, but I understand a little of it anyway. Because I am seeing the Lord answer some of my prayers. I am seeing God do some great and wonderful things. Aren't we, Will? We're seeing Him do some things. So we must have a little bit of faith, right? But He wants us to have how much faith? Great faith. And that's what He said. He wants us to have great faith. That's what He's training us up to be, people of great faith. How do we know that? He's conforming us into the image of His own dear Son. Now, did His Son, Jesus, did He have great faith? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, whenever some of the disciples were sent out to pray, when He said, now I'm going to empower you guys with power to go out and heal the sick, save the lost, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. So they went out and began to preach the word, and people got saved. They began to lay hands on the sick and drive out demons, and they come back in Matthew chapter 10, and just a few verses later, and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.